tolerance is actually a peace treaty. It's not a moral precept. We've unfortunately adopted it as such.
Please don't allow the really horrible images and the fact that there's so much anger being perpetuated turn you off. Do not turn yourself off from what's happening. Do not turn away, because you can't. You can't allow yourself to cut yourself off at this point.
No, because it is coming for you at this point.
What up, world? Welcome to the 29th episode of the Amera Podcast. My name is Blake Mannion, and we are recording this evening. What is today's date?
The 15th of August.
All my days are just...
It's an auspicious day.
Like bird poop on a window, you know? Just,
whoa.
Just drip away from you, huh?
We're recording this episode at 6:24 p.m. August 15th on a lovely Tuesday afternoon following an ugly, ugly weekend.
Yeah, very ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrible weekend.
Definitely. And actually an unfortunate day for Trump as well. But today we're going to talk about Nazis. We're going to express our opinion.
Yeah. Our Everybody's opinions. Favorite topic, it seems, across all media.
Yeah, we didn't do a whole lot of prep. Well, like, I guess our lives have been prepped for this, because that's how it should be in America.
Yeah, I've been pretty anti-Nazi for a long time. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do a lot of preparation to talk about how much I hate Nazis. Yeah, like, that's not going to be that hard.
I'm old school hating Nazis.
Yeah.
Sitting next to me today in Denver, Colorado is John Kelly. What's up, man?
Not much. Hello, listeners. Welcome back.
And in Evergreen, Colorado, at the compound, Mr. John Anderson. Hello.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And in Berkeley, California, Tyler Mayo.
What's going on? I'm fucking pissed. All right.
Yeah, but really, though, me too.
Yeah, so how should we kick this one off?
Well, do you want to do a little recap of the weekend's events and where we stand? Are you?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm sure, unless you're living in some crazy bubble, which I doubt most of our listeners are living. I mean, we all live in a bubble, right?
Well, we did have one of our listeners tell us that this is where she gets her news, which, sorry, Angela.
A shout out to Angela, who is going to be a guest on this show one of these days.
It's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. I'm going to get this here. We're making it happen.
There we go.
That will be the shenanigans episode.
I'll text her right now. Let her know she's on the pod.
Over the weekend, if you did not hear, there were riots. And, there was protesting originally by the alt-right / Nazis. Excuse me.
You don't have to cough. They were not apologetic about it.
Yeah, no hoods on this one, baby. They're fine with it, which I think they're regretting right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So several of them have gotten fired. Continue.
No, you're good. In a minute. Your quick recap. I'm lollygagging here. Like I said, bird poop on the windshield. But... There was a protest that turned into a riot in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it ended up with a member of the alt-right running their car through the anti-protest that occurred, the resistance that met the protesters, who I believe did have a permit. And one woman was killed and 19 were injured. And that has sparked a series of protests and unrest all over the country. It resulted in a moment of silence from our president, which lasted way too long. And then...
Well, yeah. Can I quibble? So yeah, quibble it was not silence. It was blaming both sides. He was... you know, when he said there was like violence and intolerance on many sides, like mm-hmm. that was him not, he was not ignoring it. He was trying to spread the blame.
Right.
Which he is fundamentally dishonest about the situation.
He wasn't trying to look like an idiot and gain favor without, he was trying to be a politician and he basically fucked that up really hard.
I would argue that he was actually dog whistling to the Nazis and white supremacists because he knows they're his main voting base.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to piss them off. I think he 100%. Knew exactly what he was doing. Also shown by when he then on Monday, 2 days after, read from a teleprompter and said, yeah, the KKK is bad, we denounce them, white supremacists are bad, we denounce them. And then today, when he was off premises, said basically the same shit again, where he's like, oh, it's on many sides, or, you know, what the yeah. alt, and he invoked the term alt-left, which is a fucking made-up thing that alt-right started saying. And so I would argue that actually it's it shows really what he thinks.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's significant that we saw him in a scripted moment yesterday. You can obviously tell he's reading the teleprompter by his cadence and his eyes. And then today, in an unscripted press conference, he was very adamant about how he feels. Like, he got corralled for one day by his new chief of staff, which is obviously not working. Like, we thought he was going to clean shit up. Not, obviously not. And, it's a shit show. It's such a fucking mess.
Not to be confused with one of the contributors of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No. It's okay, guys, but I would never, work for Donald Trump. You know, John Kelly did turn him down multiple times beforehand, and supposedly now out of a sense of duty.
Are you sticking up for the honor of your name?
No, there's. I don't know if there's a lot of honor associated with that name, but I'm just saying. For me, I would tell Trump to go fuck himself.
Just making that public. It's on the record.
Yes, if he offers me that job, I will definitely tell him that.
No doubt. So I can offer also a little bit more background because I was actually paying attention to this rally before it happened. And the alt-right planning it. And
because the lead-up to this is important.
Yeah, the lead-up is important. And I also want to state that alt-right is a term that we should all be familiar with because it's used publicly, but really it's an attempt to rebrand white supremacy and white supremacists right. through another term. So there's no problem with calling those on the alt-right white supremacists. Because that's actually what the leaders of that movement, people like Richard Spencer and Nathan Domingo, that's actually what they espouse. And so there's this slope that they've created where you can, like, they are trying to attempt where you can basically say you're alt-right but not be a white supremacist. And then slowly over time they recruit you to be real white supremacists. So we need to cut that shit in the butt and be like, don't associate with that because it is white supremacy. So I just want to put out a little...
And that's why it makes no sense to say alt-left,
yeah.
because they're, like, what would the equivalent of the translation be? Like, it is not translatable.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Good point.
Right, as if anti-fascists as a group are somehow the same thing as white supremacists. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Right.
It's mind-boggling the way that
it's big.
Yeah.
Compared.
Yeah. Totally crazy. So, lead up to this was, you know, they had put out they've been organizing for this for months, and they, you know, all the different groups calling them in, and, you know, it was, the banner was Unite the Right, right? That was the term they were using. They had a local person, organize and get the permit, basically, to be in the park. And so it was known for a long time this was coming, and there was, you know, some things that they picked Charlottesville probably for a variety of reasons. One, because of its, you know, long history. It's obviously been around for a long time. There's controversy there around the statue of Robert E. Lee being removed to another part of town. Let's all just, like, calm down. Like, they're taking away our history. I'm like, they're taking it out of a central square to, like, outside the city so that, like, black people don't have to see it every day. So, like, let's mm-hmm. all, like, not get our... They should... I think... you should like put them in a museum, and there should be an exhibit about why this is horrible, and be like, look at this horrible person. But that we can maybe get into. So anyway, so that was going on, and also Charlottesville is it's only 2 hours from DC, and it's a relatively liberal city actually, or town. It's not that big actually. In terms of Virginia. So there was multiple reasons why they probably picked that place, also probably in proximity to thing, you know, other groups that they knew would come, you know, and et cetera. So that was what they're doing. It's hard to tell sometimes with these things, like how much traction it's getting when you're not on the inside. So, you know, I was watching other various groups that keep tabs on these white supremacist groups. And like a few days before, one of those groups I think I've mentioned before on this podcast, Redneck Revolt, which is a mostly white, but not entirely white, pro-working class, pro-gun, anti-racist group. They issued a call to arms for their people. So it's Redneck Revolt and also John Brown Gun Club to show up.
And just to add a little bit to that, Terry McAuliffe did an interview where he said that they found weapons caches around Charlottesville.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They had staged weapons caches around Charlottesville, which is
very
bananas. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, people like Redneck disturbing. Revolt, you know, they showed up armed, and they were some of the ones who were standing, defending outside of the church where the different faith leaders were gathering that the night before some of the white supremacists tried to come on. But they were like, we have AK-47, so what do you want to do? And AR-15 assault rifles. So so that was, you know, that's an instance of community defense that actually worked because no one was hurt in that. Or not seriously hurt, at least. So then the night before the protest, when people were already showing up, they did that. That's when we've seen a lot of images. You've probably seen many images of this, of the torch rally with tiki torches, irony.
And can we give a shout-out to the UVA students who surrounded one of the statues?
Yeah.
That is a harrowing photo. Google, like, UVA students defend statue or something like that. Shout out to those kids, seriously, like fucking heroes.
Yeah, and there was like 20 of them, and there was like 500 white supremacists, and they like stood
their
ground.
The pictures are crazy. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so
the heroes.
That was amazing. And also, was it? I'm not sure if it was that evening or the next day, but another one was Cornell. You can find there's an interview with Cornell West. He was there, and he says that I think it was the night before, but it may have been the next day, earlier in the day, some Antifa, he says there's Antifa and anarchists who defended me, and if it wouldn't have been for them, like, we would have been seriously hurt, if not killed.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, and I'm not sure if the night before. So then, day of... they were supposed to be, things, even before the rally was supposed to start, things were already happening. So they actually got their permit revoked before it even started.
It was supposed to happen at noon. And then, there was like lots of stuff got underway before that. And then they called it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, there was many other instances. There's there's obviously, Heather Heyer getting run over. James Fields is his name, I think. And
the president, I didn't watch the whole press conference today, but from some of the press conference I watched, it was clear that the president could not remember her name.
Ugh.
Of course you couldn't.
So fucked up. And then there was, this is bad. I should know his name. Damien something, I think. He's a black man who was beat in that parking garage. I don't know if you saw those pictures and videos.
Mm-hmm.
But he was brutally beat by a group of white supremacists in the parking garage.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, there's some pretty bad images of that. Corey Long, you may have seen another black man who, there's that great picture of him like flamethrowering some white supremacists. It's like he's like real casually just like flamethrowering them, like because they had thrown a bottle of spray paint at him, so he just picked it up and lit it and just like, it's real great. He was the one who actually pulled that guy away and pulled him into a stairwell in the, and he said they just kept coming for us, and he was really pissed because he was like, there's all these photographers standing around just taking pictures, and he's like, we were getting the shit kicked out of us, and like, we understand you're journalists, but like, at what point do you say like, okay, well, I have to stop this from happening?
Sure.
And so there was many, many instances like that, you know, many, many injuries, some people I think still in critical condition from the car accident, I'm not sure, but I know there's some, they were at least critical injuries at the time, I'm not sure if they're still in critical condition. Yeah, so that's some of the lead up and then things that happened.
Yeah. Did you all get to watch Trump's 17-minute conference, press conference?
I walked out, I couldn't take it. I watched some of it, but I was gonna throw something through the television.
Trump took questions for like 17 minutes. And they were like, would you call this domestic terrorism? And he was like, you can call it murder, you can call it terror, you can call it whatever you want to, but this guy was a murderer, and what he did was wrong, but he would not call it an act of domestic terrorism.
And so this...
The hypocrisy of that is just so amazing,
yeah.
Which one of the main talking points was that Barack Obama couldn't say radical Islamic terrorism, which, like, if that's how you think fighting terrorists is done, then... You're a fucking moron. But it is the fact that he couldn't name white supremacists and Nazis, it just exposes the absolute hypocrisy of the man.
Yeah.
And it is like, I know that we hit this all the time and it's exhausting, but it is really, really abhorrent to me to witness this, to be a part of this, to have this happen in my country. Like, the president is supposed to be the president of everybody. Like, at some point, the president is supposed to say, hey, everybody, like, we're Americans first. And he didn't do that. He's more concerned about what people think about him. He is such a fucking narcissist. And it is just, it just makes me so, I just go from, like, cowering in terror to just absolute livid anger, and I cannot. I am at livid anger right now.
Yeah,
I'm very, very frustrated with the conditions in our country. Like, these are Nazis. These are Nazis. This is not hard.
This is not
difficult to like name, to be like, we are against this. We fought a world war against this.
Yeah.
This is not hard.
Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of sides to this, but I think specifically I just want to call out, because of the people who I think listen to this, and, you know, that liberal white people cannot be silent and we cannot be inactive at this point.
100%.
This is the point where I don't care, like, you have to make public statements because there are people who are silent and they need to know that it's not okay. And there are people who are on the fence who you probably don't even know are on the fence in your life.
Right.
And you have to publicly declare this is not okay. And then you have to work with communities of color and other white people to work to stand against this. Because you can't, like, let me also reiterate, we also, so there's a lot of people who are like, just don't engage with them. Okay, we also fucking tried that, and there was a world war about that, and the world war got that bad because we fucking did that, okay?
Right.
Now, I understand there's diversity
exactly
tactics
what happened
in there.
In Germany.
Yeah. Well, there are times to, like, not engage. That's totally true. I understand, like, depending on, and I want to talk about that a little bit more later, because they're coming to Berkeley soon. Actually, they have, I think, two things planned, and I want to talk about versus engaging versus not engaging, but also like, but on the grander scale, these people don't like, they're not just like, they don't, they're here to take power and to inflict violence on other people. That's their goal. They were going into black neighborhoods in Charlottesville and attempting to raid homes of black people. And only because there were counter protesters there, which were, you know, many of them were white, were they able to fight those people off. You can't just be like, it's nice for you, white person, to be like, I'm not going to engage, right? Well, what if they're coming to your town and they're doing that, they're actively going to houses, and you're just like, well, I'm just not going to engage. They're not going to, no. Then they're going to pull your fucking neighbors out of their houses and beat them. Okay. So fucking get out there and defend your community.
Right. When, absolutely.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah. what we're really saying here is that we don't want to see a slip into a Nazi authoritarian state like what we saw in Germany in the 30s. What Tyler is talking about is clearly what happened in Germany during the buildup to Hitler's rise to power in the late 20s and the early 30s, Kristallnacht, all these events that happened where the majority of people were like, well, it's just a small fringe group. It's okay. You know, we'll just stand on the side. And that group is specifically there to gain power and to do harm to other people. And we cannot allow that to happen.
Right.
When we are like, how could the Germans in the 30s have let Hitler happen? This is one of those moments.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we have to stand. And this is, like, I've heard a lot of this is a turning point moment, and it might be. And if it is, then you better hope that your grandchildren can find your Facebook posts coming out and condemning this, because you will have to stand for what you did in these events. It will be noted.
Agreed. There's no staying silent at this moment, because right now what we are witnessing is history repeating itself.
Yep. And if you want a really powerful, I was growing up sympathetic to the like, don't engage, don't engage too much with racism, because then you're just perpetuating it, right? Mm-hmm. I was sympathetic to that argument, and I am not anymore. And one of the big reasons why is Martin Luther King's A Letter from Birmingham Jail. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend – it is one of the finest pieces of writing in American history. He wrote it from a jail cell. All of the things he cites was in his mind brain. It is an extraordinary piece of writing, but it also really gets at the heart of like why being a moderate white person is actually a major harm.
It's harmful.
Significant harm.
Yeah,
I agree. I want to repeat exactly what John said. All of our listeners, if you have never read that, please go out and read that tonight. You know, please go out and read more of Dr. King's writings. Please don't allow the really horrible images and the fact that there's so much anger being perpetuated turn you off. Do not turn yourself off from what's happening. Do not turn away, because you can't. You can't allow yourself to cut yourself off at this point.
No, because it is coming for you at this point. Mm-hmm. They elected a president.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a fringe movement anymore. This is mainstream, and we have to stand against this nonsense.
As John noted earlier today, if David Dukes is happy with what you're saying, which he has said multiple times, he's happy with how the president was responding to this. David Dukes, for those of you who don't know, Grand Wizard of the KKK, meaning their leader, which I know it's hard to believe. But if that guy is saying you're doing good, then look at your bedfellows, okay? Look at who is approving of what you're doing, and then reevaluate. You're like, okay, this president, you may not have thought he was that bad, or maybe, you know, he's bad, but like, is he really that bad? When the leader of the KKK is saying he's doing well, then yeah, he's that bad. He is.
Yeah, one of the things, like, the world is really complicated and difficult to understand, and people are really good at tricking you. Like, I get tricked, and I'm a very informed person. And so one of the things I do is create, like, simple guideposts for myself. Like, if white supremacists like what I'm doing something wrong. Like, that is very simple. And so, yeah, if David Duke is pumped about what you have to say, you did it wrong, man. He did it fucking wrong.
Yeah. So there's like a few things I think that like could be good to talk about. One of those things, I read this in the title. This is not just on someone's blog, but I believe the title of the article is Tolerance is Not a Moral Precept. And one of the things we've heard is like, oh, we need to tolerate, in America, we tolerate these different views, right? And so what he kind of lays out is that tolerance is actually a peace treaty. It's not a moral precept. We've unfortunately adopted it as such. And he goes into what he thinks that it was not intended that way in the Founding Fathers and things like that. But basically his point here is that tolerance is a peace treaty. And what that means is that you opt into that peace treaty and there are rules to that peace treaty. So you can tolerate someone who, you know, is, you know, has different ideas from you, right? Who's your neighbor, right? You can tolerate that as long as they tolerate you, right? The thing about white supremacists and Nazis is that they do not tolerate Jews, right. People of color, disabled people, often queer people, immigrants. So they have, what this author was saying is they have then broken that peace treaty. They do not, they're not buying into that. And so you can't use the same rules as you would if you were in the peace treaty. Once it's basically being like, hey, no, 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 don't punch me. No, I'm not going to punch. I'm not punching. And this person's coming at you with a loaded fist. And you're just like, no, 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 no. But like, I can't do that. And the next thing you know, you're on the ground because they're beating the shit out of you. So it's like we have to kind of get at, and he kind of argues that we have unfortunately, like a liberal society has adopted it as tolerance as a moral precept, and that is screwing us right now. It's an interesting thing, but I think it's worth throwing out there because I've heard a lot of people being like, well, like we're just as bad as them if we fight back. And it's like, well, but the other option is basically like watching like someone with a knife come at you and just be like, no, 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 don't engage, don't engage. And it's like, they're getting closer. And like, no, 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 just don't engage and it's going to be fine. It's like, the person literally said they're going to kill you right now. I'm like, no, 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 just don't engage and it'll be fine. At a certain point, you have to defend yourself.
Right, there's a tipping point.
Yeah.
And I think that it comes to what is like defending yourself and what does that look like? Like, what method are you using, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, and there's a difficult line-drawing problem, too, in how do you... So if somebody is speaking, it's hard to know what's in somebody's heart, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to, like, discern rights based on what somebody else... Like, it's hard to retaliate by taking out rights.
Yeah.
Right, because then like it comes for you and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So
well, the government can't do that. The government can't do that.
Right. I think what we need to do is we need to, like, as a silent majority, stand up against this nonsense. That's the best thing. That's how to fight it. You have to fight it in the marketplace of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a president who wields mechanisms of power, who then supports a movement that denigrates other people, we are then talking about civil disobedience,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is probably close to where we are. I mean, this is, although I will say, like, there is good civil disobedience and there's bad civil disobedience, and we also are fighting people who fundamentally don't believe in institutions, and we do fundamentally believe in institutions, and so we have to be very, very careful with the methods that we use. For example, I do not think that it was a good idea for these people in North Carolina to pull down that Confederate statue. Like, if we're trying to defend a system against a virus, we can't destroy that system to defend it, right? It's like that guy, that American soldier in Vietnam who said, well, we destroyed the village to save it. You didn't save it then.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be very careful about our tactics on this.
Yeah. I'm not sure about instance. I haven't looked at it so much, but I think I see both sides. I see what you're saying, John. I also think there is something to be said of like, of a visual and an actual physical representation of like, we as a people want this. And like, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it. Like, you know, and I understand what you're saying. And I also think that there are times when it's like, you got to pull down the statue. I mean, that's, you know, it's a nonviolent thing to do. So you're pulling down a statue. I understand what you're saying. Like, I don't think that like, all the time, like mob rule should just be everywhere, obviously.
So one of the things that Martin Luther King, when I went through his writing, one of the things that I found very interesting is he uses the word creative protest all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And that, what he means by that, it took me a long time to understand what he meant. Actually, I think I'm just understanding in this moment what he meant. Epiphanies. Woo. But he's talking about you have to use tactics that are creative so that they expose the injustices in the world yet don't, like, harm the people around them.
Right.
Right. And so
not,
I think
not,
pulling
not
down...
physical harm, not physical harm. Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Because, I mean,
right.
Creative protests. It's like the sit-ins at the lunch counters without buying anything. It's refusing to ride bus services. It's it's stuff that can affect people in ways that actually mean something to them. Stop buying products at certain stores in a concerted effort, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, go ahead.
And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to do something that then exposes the injustice that is around you. And so I think that we just as a movement need to have that thought in the back of our mind. Is this creative? Is this going to be ultimately productive? Are we getting more people on our side than we are turning off? Like, and you have to make judgment calls about those things. Sometimes you do have to piss people off. Sometimes you do have to shut down a road and you have a bunch of, like, you have 10,000 people who are really pissed because they're in traffic, but 1,000 of those people are going to go home and Google what happened and be like, oh my God, I didn't know about this. Mm-hmm. I'm now really mad. And, like, those are the people that you're trying to get. So this is hard. It's a judgment call. There are trade-offs, and we just need to be really conscious about those things.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to come down one way or the other because I think that there is a lot of context that needs to go into a decision like that.
Yeah.
And
there's I think a good way of, like, bringing an example of this in you'll hear that another way this is put is a diversity of tactics in, like, social justice movement space and system change work is a diversity of tactics. So, like, sometimes it's the right move to do a sit-in. Sometimes it's the right move to, like, confront white supremacists in the streets, right? And, like, sometimes it's the right move to actually back down from those people. And sometimes it's the right move to have conversations with the store owner versus, like, boycotting them, right? You can do there are diversity, and doing multiple things has a better effect than just doing one thing if you do it on multiple fronts.
And I think a good way to judge... So one of my favorite quotes is Abraham Lincoln said, "Am I not destroying my enemy by making him my friend?"
Right.
If you come up with a creative protest that is going to take an enemy of yours and make them a friend of yours, you have succeeded. If you are not accomplishing that, you have not necessarily succeeded. You might be accomplishing something, but if you can answer the question affirmatively, I am taking an enemy and making him my friend, then you have succeeded. And so I think that is a good way of just conceptualizing. It's a good way of measuring if your tactics are successful or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the book? I might be mixing him up with Alan Watts, but wasn't it Saul Alinsky?
Yes, sir.
Who talked about just different ways of reaching
the book you're thinking of is Rules for Radicals,
right? But was it him who spoke about what is moral and taking the right means to your end and how morals can change? Or am I mixing that up with some Alan Watts
or John Dewey? John Dewey had a lot to say about that too.
We're just so well read. Well,
I mean, a lot of philosophers juggle that question,
right?
Like, when it comes to
but means, it was appropriate to this conversation in terms of, like, what tactics you should use and how you might like, you need to meet sometimes fire with fire.
So, like, here's an example. Like, I'm just going to put out an example because it's coming, and it's you know, it's unfortunate. I wish I was in Berkeley during this time. I'm actually going to be in the East Coast, but they've announced, and now I need to, I'm not sure if these are two different reports or actually if they're two different events that are going to happen, but not this weekend, but the following weekend, the Proud Boys are planning another event here in Berkeley. And I also want to say they in Charlottesville, actually that was totally a planned race riot. Like, they came to fight and to, like, beat up people. And so
it absolutely was not planned to be a peaceful protest by the right by any means.
You come essentially armed as a militia, you're not looking for a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
You're not saying, have sympathy on our views because we're trying to do peaceful protest. You're saying, bring it on, motherfuckers. We're strapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a the show message of you're force saying. Yeah. Designed to intimidate.
Yeah. So now there's two. I've heard one that they're coming into Berkeley again. Okay. And I've also heard
on the 27th.
I'm not sure which of these are true. I haven't heard any like people who usually announce these things. I've just heard through the grapevine, so I need to find more information. But then
they're coming to Berkeley on the 27th.
The 27th. Yeah. But then there's another people who said that the Proud Boys are going, which is well, I'll get into that. Are going to actually a beach. A beach that's near the Golden Gate Bridge. So it's actually in San Francisco. And so now, here's the thing. There would be people who are like, we shouldn't engage with them. And now, you may not know this, some of you out there, because depending on what news you listen to, but actually the Antifa sometimes choose to not engage. So when they came, when the white supremacists came to Berkeley on April 15th, they were like, all right, we're confronting them, all hands out. There was the whole thing or whatever. Then the Ann Coulter talk at this college got protested, and they're like, we're coming back, and blah, blah, blah. And they were coming for a fight, and the Antifa were like, don't show up. And they came for a fight, and the Antifa called it off because they knew that where they were rallying was right outside of a high school, and that their rally time was right when high school got out. And they were just like, this will be awesome. Just don't show up. And so then it was just like a bunch of high schoolers like screaming at like these old men with like guns. And that was hilarious, right? Like they just looked like men looked like fools, right?
So, and can I put a pin in this real quick?
Yeah.
Saul Alinsky said that your most powerful weapon when fighting the system is ridicule.
Uh-huh.
Ridicule. And so if you can dupe a bunch of white supremacists into getting into a fight with a bunch of high schoolers, you win. Yeah. Congratulations.
Totally. So, like, that's a good one. So okay, so the Proud Boys. Now, if they are indeed coming to this beach near San Francisco, They got their permit through the National Park Service. Like, it's literally, they have a permit to be on the beach. So, saving that they're not going to march into San Francisco from there, they're on the beach, and one of their, like, main stated objective on what they do is fight with Antifa. So, if they're just coming there to pick a fight, like, I would say don't go. They're on the beach. They're not going to be threatening any communities. They're also on the beach, like, where there's cliffs and, like, they could get, like, high ground and they're very heavily armed and then, like, they could come in on boats because a lot of them come in from up north in Marin where I presume they have boats and, like, that's some scary tactical shit. So, like, if they're not invading the community, I'd say the move there is, like, don't engage, right? That's a perfectly place. Now, if they're coming into Berkeley and they're coming with, like, the intent of, like, harming the community or going, like John said, there's weapon caches that they stick around. We hear reports of that. Or the intent of going in out into the community or into black neighborhoods like they did in Charlottesville, then, yeah, you need to try to – you have to confront them and not allow them to, like, you know, violently attack people. So I think, like, we just have to going forward, we just have to really, like, be like, there are diversity of ways of addressing this, and we have to really judge situation by situation what's the most effective way.
Yeah, I think that's the point, is, like, the decisions you make matter, and you need to think really hard about them. You will screw it up at some point, get better at it, fine, but keep working at it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, but think hard about what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is another moment, like after Trump was elected, when people got really fired up and but this is specifically racial, right? I think we could actually talk about how, you know, toxic masculinity and patriarchy and misogyny actually is another huge undercurrent here. Like, fucking Alex Fields, the guy who charged his car and killed Heather Heyer, had been reported 9 times for domestic assault from attacking his own mother, pulling a knife on his own mother. If we really took domestic violence seriously, yeah, if he took domestic violence seriously in this country and really stood up to male violence, that dude would have been in fucking prison and wouldn't be able to do that. So, or at least some steps, remedial steps would have been taken. So that's another thing. But this puts race front and center in an obviously really important way. And so, like, I feel like it's really nice time. Like, you know, if you're a white person out there and you want to get more involved, look up Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice, one of the largest white anti-racist groups in the country. If you're, you know, we're a lot of us from Colorado, or, you know, you're in the South and like that kind of hippy dippy, like liberal shit doesn't get your goat. Look up John Brown gun clubs or Redneck Revolt. And like, there are really lots of ways to plug in, like look how you can support your local Black Lives Matter chapter. There's a lot of ways to do that, and get out there and do that shit.
Fuck Nazis, and do we have anything else to add to the pod before we can't
close? We have a new Twitter handle, which, by the way, we already have a new follower. We literally just launched this. It is at Boo Nazis, BOONAZIS, Boo Nazis. Please follow
Boo
us.
Boo Nazis. Boo.
Because boo. Seriously, boo.
Boo them.
Boo, boo Nazis.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to say fuck Nazis, everybody. It's okay. You're allowed.
It's all right. They stand for everything that I'm against.
You basically, there are almost never times where there are clear good guys and bad guys unless you're watching like a superhero movie, but this is one of those times and you should cherish it because it is really fantastic to just say fuck Nazis, like unequivocally.
Scream and without trepidation.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no, good plug, John. I think the last thing that I want to say is to any of our listeners that are out there that are in the middle or might be leaning a little more to the right, this may not have been the nicest thing for you to sit through. I hope that you did, and I hope that you call on the people that you elected to stand up for the American Constitution and to stand up against these people who really want to harm the majority of American citizens.
And let's say shout out to all of the Republicans, specifically Orrin Hatch, who said, my brother didn't die in World War II, to have this nonsense go on. Also, our Senator Cory Gardner had a fantastic statement about this. I posted it. We are seeing Republicans finally grow. Sorry, grow, that's reinforcing pain. Man, I don't want to reinforce patriarchy.
But you're right, John.
But
You're right.
Like, they finally aren't fucking cowards about this. And that is good to see, because I would like to keep thinking that America is exceptional. And if we succumb to fucking Nazis, we are absolutely a middling, ordinary bullshit country.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
Agreed. Well said.
Boo Nazis.
Yeah.
Follow us.
Shot from the mountaintops.
Cool. Well,
all right. Well, bam.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next time.
Fuck Nazis.